Hello, and welcome to another special episode of the Fiber Exchange. For this episode, we will be celebrating International Women in Engineering Day. So I am really pleased to say that I am joined by three very special guests.
Hi, I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Amanda O'Hara. I'm the head of Area Build in the Northeast. With City Fibre, and I've been with City Fibre since July of 2018.
Okay, I'm Hannah Carter. I've been with City Fibre for 3 years now as Lead Build Assurance Engineer, working together with my City team and build partner, delivering a quality FFN network in Northampton. I've been in the telecoms business for over 20 years, starting on an IT service desk and then in a opportunity arose for an apprenticeship for a network engineer. So I've worked on for large customers such as BP, TUI. Probably the most fun was a contract for SAB Breweries, where I got to travel Europe and sample the product. So that was quite good fun. That's me.
And hi, my name is Lisa Chin. So I am at the end of my 7th week with City Fibre. So at the minute, every day is a school day and I'm learning as I go. I've come across to do the City Build Manager role in High Wycombe. My background is military, so I was in the RAF for 11 and a half years.
So we're here today to celebrate International Women in Engineering Day, which is a very important day. So my first question is, what does International Women in Engineering Day mean to you?
Okay, I'm happy to kick this one off if you don't mind, Lisa and Hannah. For me, the International Women in Engineering Day is primarily about celebrating the successes of women and perhaps spending some time to focus on the challenge that women still experience in the world today. So that's sort of what it means for me, really.
Yeah, I suppose like sort of I agree with that. And I suppose it's promoting like a kind of can do exposure to like a wider audience who might not necessarily have thought of it as an option for a field they want to be involved in. It kind of like promotes that into a bigger audience, really.
I confirm with that as well. So for me, I would say it's a day where we can all come together to kind of celebrate our achievements and success on one platform, so it gives us a platform to do that. And show off the kind of our careers, our interests and achievements that we have done and made in a predominantly male, traditionally kind of male dominated environment.
So if we think about diversity inclusion, have you got any examples of initiatives that specifically target women to go into engineering?
Yeah, I'll kick this off to start with if you want, Faye. So during my time at Sky, I was actually the regional lead for our Women in Home Service project that we'd done at Sky. So this was a paid training programme where we introduced female engineers, offered them a career and development opportunity to come across, do the training, and then see at the end of it, as long as they had passed all the training, reached kind of the credentials that we expected, and they were enjoying it as they come, then we had 1,000 jobs at the end of it where they went and were based in positions around the country that was kind of local to them.
So it's quite similar to like sort of the BAE and Planner, like sort of academies that seems like there's quite a diverse mix of, sort of applicants coming into that area as well. So
But this one is only women.
It was just women, was it?
Yeah. So only for Women in Home Service. So it was initiative just only for females to bring some more people in.
All right. And was that graduates as well? Like sort of
anybody could apply. So they could have zero experience, somebody who was older in life, want a career change, it was across the board open to anybody.
Yeah, that's good, because when they kind of like, minimise it to just graduate applicants, it does, I suppose, put people off with like families and coming back into the workplace, doesn't it? Yeah, so I mean, in Northampton, like sort of even with City Fibre, I've worked together quite a lot with the marketing team and our city manager here. And we've been out to like sort of visit universities and girls' schools as well, like a local school, girls' school in Northampton, particularly students who are already like within courses or choosing their options for like STEM subjects. So it's like we've been out with Hellam & Titan, who's one of our suppliers also based in Northampton, and they supply City Fibre nationwide. And yeah, just giving them a bit more of an overview on what careers they could do within City Fibre, again, to kind of like give them that knowledge and yeah, exposure on things they might not have necessarily thought about and what qualifications they might need to go into those roles. So yeah, we've worked on quite a lot of initiatives in the local community.
And that's really good because it's key at the educational level, isn't it? At very minimum, at least if you can
catch them early. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dispel myths. You know, both of you as successful women in an engineering environment, you know, it's positive for youngsters while still in education to have some role models. That's key.
Yeah, I think it makes it more like sort of personable as well. If you do send a woman out there saying, I'm doing this at the moment, and this is like sort of where I've come from, this is what I've done, and this is what I can kind of basically achieve. It's, yeah, it gives them a bit more confidence, I suppose.
It was my daughter's parents' evening last night, and we get like 5 minutes with each teacher, and her design and tech teacher, basically, she's only in year seven, so I think he was like trying to pick her early, but he was saying how great she likes sort of building things and making things and designing things, and she's really good at the attention to detail. And he was like, we are encouraging girls from year seven to think about picking design and technology and ICT for their GCSEs.
If people aren't quite sure, then it's like, yeah, stimulating them early enough to kind of think, well, yeah, actually, yeah, that's what I'd like to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. But also, you know, I can draw down in some of my own personal experience, even to progress and, you know, enjoy the world of engineering. You don't actually have to be an engineer itself. You know, me in particular, I am not technical in any manner. You know, my background is I'm an accountant. And I worked with the railway for a long, long time before coming into telecoms. I've only come into telecoms since I joined City Fibre 4 years ago as a construction manager, which effectively is the lead BAE role as it currently stands right now. And I've been fully supported through City Fibre with the sort of line management that I've constantly had and the experts surrounding me that I've progressed, I think, reasonably quickly.
Yeah.
Within the company, whilst never being that technical expert myself, I can understand the infrastructure that we're trying to build, and I'll always be able to visualise piecing a jigsaw together and the component parts of the build and what it does, but I can't actually visualise doing it myself. So there's a whole part of going into engineering doesn't necessarily mean to say that you're in the minutiae of the technical detail itself.
And do you think mentoring has a role to play? I mean, in an organisation, how does leadership influence change? And for, you know, whether it be younger females looking to come into engineering or someone later in life wanting to change their career, what does a good mentor look like?
I think it starts with listening, for me. We've got kind of 2 ears and one mouth for a reason. I think it's important to kind of start off by listening to what they want and where they want their career to kind of progress, and then develop a plan on how we can assist with that going forward as a mentor to kind of guide them on the right track. Also, kind of not volunteering to mentor somebody if that's not really what you want to do. You've got to be enthusiastic about it. Otherwise, kind of that negative impact that you have will just rub off on the mentoree as well. So rather than being good for them, being a positive and helping them progress, you're gonna kind of make them stale and then pick up the same stuff as what that mentor is if they're not in it 100%.
Yeah, it's a huge commitment, the mentoring thing, and it doesn't always necessarily, in my experience, have to be your line manager.
Yeah,
someone else within the business that has that sort of role modelling and tapping into ability and really good people skills, being someone that's encouraging and supportive and understanding, and then can really get to the root of what someone's chosen career path is. And that's quite a commitment to provide to someone. So, and it's part of what we all do, I guess, isn't it? Otherwise, I wouldn't have progressed if I hadn't had come across some good mentors and a great level of support across the last 3 or 4 years, and I try and do some of that myself.
Yeah, I suppose the person being mentored as well, they would feel probably more at ease if it isn't necessarily their line manager. They might feel like sort of more comfortable going together with a question that they might feel is stupid to their line manager. So it's, even though you're like sort of passing on knowledge, you're also helping build somebody's confidence. I think that's kind of like what makes a good mentor. It's not necessarily just the technical detail, it's actually developing that person, like sort of with their confidence as well.
Absolutely, and their self-esteem and everything.
Yeah.
But yeah. Being in the ability to give some people some exposure to other parts of the working day or the business that they wouldn't necessarily through the natural line management. And yeah, that helps everyone.
Yeah, I think the app that we've got, so the mentor loop, where they can go on and say what they want, kind of where they want to progress to, what they're looking for a mentor, and that matches them up with a mentor,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, it's almost like a little like a kind of dating app, isn't it? But
and then you can kind of go through and say, well, probably, yeah, like you're swiping, I suppose, Hannah, isn't it? Like you chose who stands out to you.
Yeah.
But with that, that gives them kind of, they can look at other people and see what they've got to offer and see if that's a good fit for them.
Like-minded people, yeah, being put together, really, isn't it?
So my next question is, what role can we all play in supporting and advocating for female development and progression? But what can we do to support female development?
I suppose it's like kind of, yeah, using our voice to get involved with initiatives such as this, like sort of standing up and, yeah, being heard. But it's also like recognising talent amongst our peers. So there might be someone not necessarily involved in a job that is technical, but they're showing an interest in it, and it's just encouraging them if that's something they want to go into. And that could be with colleagues or even with friends and family, like you say, like your daughter, like speaking to her teacher and just encouraging that as well. And then, yeah, just supporting each other at work with like sort of other female colleagues as well.
I think it's good to kind of use LinkedIn and the other kind of platforms that we have as well to shout out about our kind of successes and stuff within the team. So not just us shouting about what we've achieved ourselves, but the team as a whole. Or if you've got other females that's kind of a bit more reserved or a bit shy, kind of promoting them on there as well to say kind of well done and giving them an angle. Just making, I think as well, coming in on a kind of telecoms environment where it is mostly male dominated, I think it's important for them not to feel that they are having to be compared to males all the time. You want them to be able to come in and just be the best that they can be successful in the role, and then look and see how they want to progress within that. They shouldn't always be looking at well, that guy's been here longer and I'm competing with them, or yeah, whatever.
It's being seen as an equal, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's being seen as an equal. That's, and if you have the right skills, then you, yeah, yes, you should be a fit for a role. It shouldn't necessarily matter whether you're a man or a woman and you're trying to like sort of fill a criteria. You should feel if you've got the right skills, then you should be considered for a role.
It's about the right person.
Yeah.
Before what they do. And for me, I mean, you know, I think probably the path that I've had in probably most of my career, I've never felt part of a minority, and I've been in an engineering environment for over 20 years. I've never felt part of any particular club or a minority. It doesn't bother me that the ratio of men to women is a lot higher, you know, in lots of ways you can feel a bit special. So I've never personally experienced you know, any blockers or being treated any different or being expected to be anything other than who and what I am. I've never experienced that. And that might be in part down to the fact that I'm a particularly confident person, and it might well be that the mentors that I've had throughout my career and probably in life have always sort of encouraged my self-assuredness and things like that, that we naturally do. We naturally do with our loved ones and our families round about as we, you know, when we become mothers and things like that, we create strong individuals that we pass up to the world. So I've never personally seen any blockers. I've never felt part of a minority. And I don't honestly feel that I've ever been expected to be anything other than Amanda. And Amanda's no agenda, it's just an entity. And that's something that I would pass on to any team member, male or female.
Yeah, totally agree. That's the same for me, Amanda. I've not come across any kind of bias towards me being a female.
Okay, so at City Fibre, we have various different networks across the business. And my next question is, what are the benefits that the gender network has on influencing change?
So what I've found so far, obviously I've only been here for 7 weeks, is that it gives an open platform where we can kind of discuss and try and tackle the bias to make sure that we're blocking that out and we're moving forward in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, I think like sort of, I mean, yeah, it is like sort of predominantly male still with it, especially within the city that I work in. But I think having that diversity that we've currently got, it provides like sort of broader perspectives and like opinions, but in a kind of positive way. So I feel like when we do come across an issue or a concern or something, it seems to be resolved more diplomatically. And yeah, sort of like helps like well-being than if you had just all male or all female in a particular job role.
So I'm going to ask you all individually this question. So Lisa, I'll start with you if that's okay. Do you in your role feel there is more to do to attract more diverse genders into the fibre industry?
Yeah, totally. I think although we're moving in the right direction, we're only just scratching the surface. I have recently just signed up as a STEM ambassador for Buckinghamshire. So for me, that has involved me getting involved with the STEM challenge that they're doing in the local schools across the county. So we judge some of the competitions that they have. We go in and do kind of talks within the schools around the county as well, not just the local ones in High Wycombe. And I've also kind of roped Installcom, who is my build partner, into that with me. Only because obviously they have more opportunities as well. It's not just what we offer, but we're working in conjunction with a build partner. So I thought it would be better for us and kind of just that engagement with the local community, etc., to both be there and be represented. So we've done it together. And I just think, like we've discussed earlier, trying to catch people at a young age and kind of take that stereotype out of all apprenticeships is for boys and women should be nurses or whatever you used to think when you were at school, like your pink and blue thing, that time's long gone. So we just need to show that these roles are there and they're open to anybody.
Hannah, the same question to you.
Yeah, I suppose it's removing like sort of that unconscious like sort of bias. So when I'm recruiting for a new role and I get like the CVs in, looking not necessarily like sort of at accreditations, but like at soft skills, which might make me consider a woman might be more like sort of beneficial for a role, but she might not necessarily have like sort of the right accreditations because the industry isn't flooded with like sort of women doing that type of job. So I think it's just removing that unconscious bias when I'm recruiting for new roles.
Brilliant. And Amanda, what are your thoughts?
To follow on from your point, Hannah, I would completely sort of agree with you. And it's about the selection process. And we look at individuals holistically. Because if we think about it, over all the CVs that we perhaps review over a period of time, not necessarily every CV that comes across our desks will in its entirety meet the criteria. So it's almost about looking at your team and seeing, you know, getting the right blend of people. You know how we all want to have, we can't have everybody the same type of person or same type of personalities and don't want to get done into, you know, strategising, using things like DISC and things like that. But a really good team's formed with different personalities and different skill sets. And that's generally how a good and successful team work together, isn't it? They work together, they form their position, if you like, and they play to their strengths. And part of what we do in the selection process, which, you know, as, you know, women in the workplace right here now for City Fibre, all of us have the opportunity to review its selection process and open up the diversity within our teams through the interview and selection process. So I think we have it within our gift to encourage more women to come into the engineering side of things, particularly with City Fibre, at the interview stage, because at that stage we've almost got the opportunity to dispel any rumours or any concerns, or, and you know, yourself, Lisa, being here for for 7 weeks. Hannah, yourself, you know, a lead engineer, and you've been here for 3 years, you know, what a great role model for any woman to come in for an interview, because you guys are doing the job that mm-hmm. they might want to aspire to, maybe not right there and then, but eventually, myself included. I've done your job, Hannah, done your job, Lisa, and just been here a bit longer than both of you, and being encouraged all along the way, and that's up to us to replicate that through our own selection process. And I think at City Fibre we generally do that.
Yeah, that's brilliant. There is a famous Hewlett-Packard survey, so allied to the question that I just asked you and your answers. It found that women would only apply for a role if they could satisfy 100% of the qualifications, but men apply only if they meet 60% of the job descriptors. And it's like you've said, it's about the unconscious bias. So when we're recruiting and actively looking at CVs, it's like you said, looking at the soft skills. You know, they may not have these qualifications, but you know, you can see more skill in other areas. But how can we encourage women to apply in the first place, even if they don't have 100% of the qualifications or the job descriptors needed? How can we challenge this?
I think with the like sort of the associate BAE scheme, I think that is just like sort of brilliant, because they're being like sort of recruited from all industries. And I think that's it. If we can like sort of get programs like that, like sort of initiatives like that out in the field, and instead of just advertising a role as it is, have these planning academies and these BAE academies, then I think that will encourage school leavers, people that are just out of university. I think it will encourage a more wider spectrum, which would incorporate more women applicants.
I agree, because it's almost like, you know, not to be too flippant about it, it's almost like no experience required, but welcome.
Yeah.
And I think that's an amazing opportunity.
It doesn't put people off then, does it, to think, well, actually, I don't meet that criteria, so I'm not going to apply.
I think we're kind of females, when they read a job advert, I think we tend to stick to the rules more than men. So we would kind of perceive it as the requirements that's been on the advert are minimum requirements, rather than kind of less flexible than what they usually are.
Yeah, it's kind of like there's not as much self-promotion, there? Yeah, there's not as much self-promotion, and you kind of tend to... Not so much now, I don't think, but probably previously tend to put ourselves down, when actually that we just need to have that belief that we can do something.
I think that will grow, and I think we you know, perhaps more women in the workplace and in the engineering type field. You know how we often get teens, and we always say that telecoms is a small world, and the majority of our workforce here are men, and they've all got this network, they've all crossed paths together in the past and all of that kind of thing. It's only through getting more women in the workplace now that we will then develop that future network.
Yeah.
Lots of women are coming in to the workplace and saying, oh yeah, you know, yeah, oh, I've worked with Lisa Chin before, or I've worked with Hannah Carter or whatever, in a previous life or whatever it is. And we're probably a couple of decades away from, you know, being on par with that and the male front in terms of the network stuff. But this is the start of creating that, isn't it?
Yeah.
And my final question is, what is it about City Fibre that enables us to challenge existing norms? So what sets us apart from the rest?
I mean, I think that the fact that we're recognised as like the top in the Times as the top 50 employee for women, which promotes us as a like sort of employee for women, makes us stand out when people are applying for jobs, when they're like sort of comparing companies. So I think that's like kind of a real good point that we have at City Fibre.
With that, I think it was 93% of women who currently work at City Fibre had said that they would recommend us as a good place to work.
Yeah, that's brilliant, isn't it?
Yes, that's amazing, yeah.
And also, I suppose there's lots of like sort of different platforms for our like sort of voice to be heard and for our opinion to matter, and like Greg says, he likes people who challenge, and I think within City Fibre the environment is that there are people who do challenge like the process, or who do challenge like sort of what we're being told. And I think that's kind of like the environment we're kind of being, we've got used to,
because we feel empowered, don't we?
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that is such a strong message to end on, that we feel empowered. So Amanda, Lisa, Hannah, thank you so much for spending some time with me and answering my questions. You have been listening to the special edition episode of the Fibre Exchange for International Women in Engineering Day. If you'd like to find out more about City Fibre, visit cityfibre.com, and we'll see you soon.